Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
Man, I'm just excited that we get to celebrate the close of 2020 together, and really I'm grateful that you're here. If we haven't met, my name is Keith, and my wife Amy and I get to serve as the pastors of Blaze Church, but we don't do it alone. We love our dream team, and I just want to ask you guys, would you just honor our dream team this morning? Let's just clap it up for them, our worship team, our production team, our kids team, our welcome team, facilities. And in just 3 Sundays left, guys, we're going to have some brand new teams starting here at Blaze Church and really becoming Blaze Church portable. If I learned one thing, but I think I learned more than one thing this year, I did learn write with a pencil, not a pen. And so we are tentatively planning January 24th as our first Sunday at the Residence Inn, which is right across the highway. I won't say the street. Don't try to cross that street on foot. Please, somebody. Right across the major highway. You have to loop around a little bit. But we're going to be holding our Sunday services, hopefully starting January 24th, right there at the Residence Inn. And so you'll find out we are changing some service times. We're making some final preparations there. And so just continuing to pray and excited because our dream team is growing. In fact, I'm so excited. Over the past couple weeks, we've had over 20 new people join the dream team, and that's awesome. And so from drivers to setup team to a takedown team, more people on the kids team, because our space is way more than doubling in there. So if you have not signed up to be on the dream team and make a difference, do it, especially if this is your church. Like, be a part of that, and you can go to blazechurch.org/teams, get all the information you need there. But today, we're going to wrap up our series, Christmas Isn't Canceled, and I really am going to encourage you as best I can, as we turn the page on 2020 and head into another year, but really just head into another day. Like, tomorrow's just another day. I want to encourage you to live a life that honors God in your whole life, including your speech. And so I'm going to take the next 25 minutes to really show you why what we say actually matters and how God is the one who has authority in our lives to define who we are, not what we've done, what we've said, or any of that. Because maybe you said it, and if someone around you has, please don't elbow them, okay? But how many of you have heard somebody say 2020 is the worst year ever? Come on, you just give a little hand for me. You've heard that. You said it. You posted it. You know, this is the worst year. Things. I just want to get to 2021. And it's like we're putting all of this stock into a new year, like a new year has the authority to change anything in our lives. Guys, I want to be the one to tell you, if you haven't heard it yet, God gets the authority in our lives when it comes to that. And I don't need a new year to get a new me, or I don't need a new year to get a reset button. Scripture says his mercies are new every single morning. Like, every morning, God has new mercies for us for that day. And so what I want to do is I want to encourage you guys that if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, today who you need is Jesus Christ. You don't need 2021. You need the Savior of the world, the Creator of the universe. And if you are his child, then let me remind you of that truth today. God is in full control of your life. 2020 did not take him by surprise. COVID-19 did not sneak. Oh, I didn't see that one coming. That wasn't God's reaction. He is always in full control, and he always has a good plan. And as we've been learning all month long, nothing can separate us from the love of our God. Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39, I'm praying that that is your anthem. There is nothing that can separate you from God's amazing love. And so today, I'm going to sound like a broken record because I'm going to keep saying the same thing over and over and over so that we don't just hear it here, but so that we would receive it in our hearts and live differently and really go into tomorrow, later, a new year, wherever you're going, understanding the truth of God's scriptures. Because I'm sure, like me, we've all had moments where words have left our mouth in slow motion. You ever have that? It's like you just start saying it and you're watching the person receiving the negativity. They're receiving the anger that's coming from your mouth. Or maybe it's not from here, but it's from here. I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to post it in a passive-aggressive way. Some people, and you just send it off. And then 5 minutes later, you're like, I'm going to go back and delete it. And it's already got comments. Like, it's too late. The world has seen it. But we all have those moments where we're a little too quick to speak instead of being quick to listen, as Scripture says. Now, here's what I want to do today. I really want you to know the freedom that is found in Jesus Christ. Because I believe that the enemy in those moments, what he wants most is to condemn and accuse. You know, that's actually his name. He is an accuser of those who are God's children. Like, he wants to do everything he can to remind you of what you've said, of what you've done, of how you've reacted, and say, that's who you are. You're a doubter. You're a liar. You're an angry person. You're no good. You're used up. You're damaged goods. You can't be used by God. And every single one of those things is a lie from the enemy. You are not what you've done. You are not what you've said. You are who God says you are. There are truths in his word that I'm praying today we can remove the labels that maybe you've put on you or others have put on you or the enemy has put on you, and you would understand your true identity as a child of God. And you would understand the power of Jesus' name that we just sang about, that he has no rival or no equal. He has full authority in our lives. Because too often, we can think, I've canceled God's plan in my life now. He cannot use me. But here's what I want you to know today. God's grace is greater than our disgrace. Like, that's the truth that I want you to understand today. The grace of God. What is God's grace? Grace is unmerited favor. It's favor that we can't work for, that we don't deserve, that we can't say, God, look how good I am. Look how religious I am. Look how many times I go to church. Look at how I love and forgive. You should bless me because of me. No, it's unmerited favor, and it is greater than any disgrace the enemy is trying to say we have to hold on to. Like, if you feel like you're a disgrace to your family, a disgrace to your company, a disgrace to your community, those are lies from the enemy, and God's grace is greater than it. And I'm praying that today, December 27th, our last Sunday of this year, together in this space and online, that you would know this truth. His grace is greater. God can and will use you for great things. And there is forgiveness to be found, and there is a new identity to be carried. Scripture says we are a new creation. The old is gone. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at the life of a couple from the Christmas story, not Joseph and Mary, but Mary's cousin Elizabeth. And I want you to discover that this couple, they really didn't deserve the grace of God. They didn't deserve all that God had given them. And yet he did, because God is gracious. It was not about Zechariah's life. It was not about Elizabeth's goodness. It really was about God's grace in their lives. And so we're going to read a whole bunch of scriptures. So if you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 1. It's the third book in the New Testament. And if you don't have your scripture, we will have it right up here for you to follow along with. It says in verse 5, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named, say his name with me, Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. I took the hard word there and didn't make you say it, so I said that one. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. I want to hit pause for a moment, just because I want you to understand who we are meeting. We're meeting Zechariah, who is a priest, which means he serves in the temple. He would direct worship services. He would preach sermons. He would take care of things. And his wife Elizabeth actually comes from Aaron's family. And Aaron was also a priest. So we are meeting a very priestly people. We are meeting some good people here. In fact, the next verse says, both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees. Say this word with me, blamelessly. That's a pretty good description of some people. Hey, meet our priest Zechariah. Meet his wife Elizabeth. She comes from a long line of priests, and both of them honor God blamelessly. You might think that would be the reason why God would use them, but remember, it is God's grace in our lives. It's not about them. In fact, look at the next statement. It tells us how broken they were. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. What I want you to understand is maybe your story, maybe someone you know, their story. We are meeting some good people, and yet, despite their goodness, they are facing some hard moments. Man, can I just tell you, I'm so glad that karma's not a real thing, that you get what you deserve and it comes around, goes around. Man, if that was the gospel, I would be in a whole lot of trouble. I don't know about you guys, but I know that I would be. If I just got what I deserved, if I just did some good things, then I get some good things back, and every time I do a bad thing's gonna happen. That is not the gospel, and that is not God's grace. And for this couple, here we are seeing a good couple, a priestly couple, even a blameless couple, and yet the thing that they are praying for doesn't seem to be answered. And understand, if you've walked this journey of not having a child or praying with someone who doesn't seem to be able to have a child. You know the pain that is in that story. And in the first century, it's not just pain, but it's also shame. Because in the first century, they would look at you and say, well, there must be something wrong in your life, and you're not benefiting the community now. And now you can't carry on a patriarch's name in your family. Like, Elizabeth would have had a whole lot of shame and disgrace on her. And yet God looks at this couple, and he's about to use them in a great way. So Zechariah goes to work one day at the temple, and it's anything but a regular day, because while he's praying, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, say these four words with me. Do not be afraid. Man, I really want to speak to you this morning. If you've come to church and you've come into the presence of God, and all you have with you is fear of God, not healthy reverence for him, but afraid that he's just going to smite you dead, like that word smite. Like, it's just, it's strong, and you're just afraid of what he's going to do because you think he doesn't love you. Would you allow those words just get into your heart this morning? In fact, all throughout the Christmas passages, we see the first things out of an angel's mouth is, don't be afraid. It's like the shepherds were afraid, Joseph was afraid, Mary was afraid, Zechariah is afraid. And God's message is, do not be afraid. He has not given us a spirit of fear, right? Do not be afraid. He's here with the message of love and grace and hope to make you brand new. So this angel speaks to Zechariah, hold up, don't be afraid. And then he speaks a miracle. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. You got to think, how many times, how many hundreds of times over how many years had Zechariah prayed the same prayer? Lord, give us a son. Lord, we are blameless, but we are broken. My wife is barren. Give us a son. And now this angel is declaring, your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been answered. Your wife will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. I mean, he is hearing the answer to his prayer. What's his response? Is it praise? Is it faith? Is it all of a sudden this great couple who is blameless going to write, yes, Lord, it's about time. I never doubted you for one moment. It's been a while, but you came through just like you always, you just bust out a song. No, he doesn't do that. He says this. He says, Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. Husbands, we got to take a note from Zechariah. Notice, he says, I'm old, but he does not say his wife is old. He's smart. And you know Liz, she's well advanced in years. It's just a little polite way, pepper your speech with some grace there. And really what we're seeing is Zechariah, all he's identifying in front of him is the obstacles to the miracle that is being declared over his life. He is more concerned with what he sees in the natural that would make null and void the words of this angel of the Lord speaking on behalf of God. I've heard your prayer. You will have a child. And he is more focused on what he sees around him that would say, no, it can't happen. It's canceled. Like, you don't understand. We're too old. You're too late. And what I love about this story is that it is a story of God's grace. Like, this is God in his unmerited favor continuing to work through this couple despite doubt, despite what he's even saying in this moment, and it's actually woven into the story through their names. See, names actually have a lot of importance, especially in Scripture, especially understanding where God would change someone's name or use someone's name or give a name as he did here to say, you're going to name your son John. See, the name Zechariah actually means the Lord has remembered. Think about that. Every time he would pray that prayer, hey, it's me, Zechariah. You remember me. He kept praying the same, Lord, we want to have a child. We're living blamelessly. We want to have a child. You have remembered. And then the angel says, and you're going to name your son, not Zechariah, not the name of some patriarch or family member in your tree, but says you're going to name him John. The name John means God has been gracious. How cool is that? That in this story, we are seeing the Lord has remembered and God has been gracious. despite the brokenness, despite the label that's on your wife as being no good, can't contribute, used up, God has been gracious. God is the one who is now giving you this gift of life. Zechariah doubts. And now we see God, in his grace, about to discipline Zechariah. Now, if you're a parent, you know this is true. And my son's 6, my daughter's 4, and we're constantly trying to remind them that we discipline you because we love you, not because we hate you or want to ruin your life. I just can't step on another Lego, bro. Like, we got to discipline you. And we reinforce the reason why we discipline is because we love you. In fact, it's scriptural. We read, who the Lord loves, he disciplines in a way that is for our good, like actually to benefit us as his children so that faith might continue to be rising up in us. And I believe that what God does next for Zechariah is an incredibly gracious discipline. The angel says this, and now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Now, there's verses that speak about how much joy Elizabeth had in her pregnancy, and I don't know if it's because her husband couldn't speak for all those months, but maybe it is. That's just speculation on my part, but ladies, you could determine that for yourself if it would be better if your husband couldn't speak for all those months. Here it is that Zechariah now is not going to be able to use his words. The last words he spoke out of his mouth was doubt. So the angel says, okay, because you did not believe now, you're going to actually be silent for the next few months until this is fulfilled. Like, you're going to believe this. And the reason why I say this is gracious discipline and not cancellation, notice the angel doesn't go, all right, fine, that's how it's going to be. I'll move on to the next couple. I'll find me a couple that's got full of faith and that I'll just work through them. No, God is gracious. His plans are not canceled. And now they're going to learn what I'm hoping you and I can learn in the next 5 minutes by looking at some scripture. Our words actually do matter. Like, what we say actually makes a difference. It actually matters. It actually has authority. Our speech actually does things. So the last words for Zechariah to say is doubt, is no, there's no way this can happen. And now the angel says, okay, you're going to spend some time in silence. How many know it's not wrong to be silent? Like, it's actually very healthy for us to have silence and meditation and reflection. And actually, if there's, it sounds cliche, we say it to kids, but I think adults need it too. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all, right? Because maybe you've heard this lie before. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a little lie right there, right? We understand if you've been on the receiving end of some speech that is not grace-filled and faith-filled, how much pain and damage it causes. I want to show you that this is actually scriptural. Look at what Proverbs says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Really, what this verse is saying is maybe something you've experienced this year especially, or have seen people experience. If all we're saying from here is 2020 is the worst year, this has been horrible, I can't wait to get over this, this just has to end, I can guarantee scripturally that the fruit you've experienced in your life matches the words that are coming from your mouth. That if we wake up with that perspective and it's the only thing we're saying, then we are going to continue to see that fruit. Jesus said this, what you say flows from what is in your heart. See, words don't actually start here, they start here. They start with what you believe. Where is your faith? What are you looking to? What are you filled with? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it God's word? It will be evidenced in our speech. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. And I'm not standing up here telling you guys that I get this right 100% of the time. There have been times this year where I have let unwholesome talk come out of my mouth about the year, about a situation, where I have not had faith-filled speech leave my lips. I'll share a little something about my little girl, my 4-year-old. You know, we're teaching our kids principles like this about what they say, and she's developed her own unwholesome speech vocabulary. And so if she ever calls you or your child a chicken butt, I apologize. I have no idea where she got this from. When she's upset at us, you chicken butt. I'm like, no unwholesome speech. I don't even know what that means, but it's definitely not wholesome. But all of us, we can lean into that, right? That's what I said earlier. It's like we say these things and we watch the words leave in slow motion and then we watch the damage that happens afterwards. And what I want you to understand is this. The enemy wants to fill you with guilt and shame and condemn you for that. That is not who you are. You are forgiven in Jesus' name. You are his child and his grace does abound. And at the same time, children of God, those of you that have put your faith in Jesus, our words have power. They do. Like we speak life or we speak death. And I'm just encouraging you today that if it is not faith-filled, if it is not scripture-based, don't allow the words to leave your lips. James says it. It's hard to tame the tongue. It is. And it is hard to tame the fingers too, especially when we want to post. But man, let's not say things like, I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to be healed. I'm never going to have a child. I'm never going to get a job. Man, we keep speaking that death in our lives by the situations we see. And scripture says we will eat its fruit. And today is not about having positive speech and just declaring positive things. It's way better than that. Today is about having the gospel on our lips. Today is about knowing the truth of God's grace and his mercy and who we are. And the authority and the gift that he has given us. And so now Zechariah is going to have some good time to learn. I want to speak words of life and faith. Now, I do have to pay honor to Elizabeth because that would not be fair and it would be one-sided of me to just tell Zechariah's response. And so we see in verse 25, Elizabeth says, "The Lord has done this for me. In these days, he has shown his favor. And look at this, he's taken away my disgrace among the people." I just love this. Like Elizabeth now, actually at this moment into her pregnancy, recognizes God has removed the disgrace from my life. And I believe this for you today. Whatever disgrace you are continuing to carry, whatever that thing is that you feel has marked you, that is your identity, that is not of God, Jesus has the authority to remove it from you today. He does. Like you are invited to put your faith in him and be a new creation. The old is gone. All things are made new. Now, just as the angel said, the time has come for this child to be born. And it's kind of funny when you read it because they're all asking Elizabeth, what are we going to name the baby? And Zechariah still can't speak. And so Elizabeth is saying, we're going to name him John. And they're like, no, we can't name him John. Nobody in your family's named John. Like, do you have a weird uncle you've never invited to Christmas? We've got one of those, right? It must be, where's your weird uncle John? Like, we don't know who that is. It's like, no, I'm telling you, it's John. And so then it says in verse 62, that they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. And he asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. His name is God has been gracious. Look at this, verse 64. Immediately, his mouth was opened, and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. I just think that's such a cool moment for Zechariah. That the last time he was able to form words, his words were doubt. And now the first time he's able to speak again, it's praise to God. And he's declaring, God has been gracious. That's who this child is. And in fact, God uses him in this moment. He goes from priest to prophet and begins to declare a prophecy about his child and about Jesus. I want to show you the gospel that's in this prophecy. And you, my child, and that's speaking of John, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. And parents, if I could just encourage you in this moment, you've got children, no matter how old they are, pray over them. Speak words of life over them. If you're not a parent, maybe you're an aunt or an uncle or a teacher. I don't advise this, but maybe you see a stranger kid in the supermarket. Don't go near them, but just pray over children. Like, pray over this generation that they would be trailblazers for Jesus. That they would prepare the way for him. That's really why we identify as Blaze Church, that God has called us to prepare the way for the Lord on the east end of Long Island, to just keep leading people to know him and find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And so that's exactly what his father is doing in this moment. And then he starts talking of Jesus to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. See, a key part you have to understand about the gospel is that if today you are carrying around that sin, that you have not confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus is the Lord and the Savior, Jesus alone is able to forgive you of your sin. Why? Because he took your disgrace to the cross. Like, that is the gospel, that he took your disgrace and the punishment for your sin to the cross so that you might receive what you don't deserve, the unmerited favor of God. Zechariah goes on to say, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide our feet into the path of peace. How many of you would say you want your feet on a path of peace today? That's where I want to be. Understand that Zechariah is declaring the gospel, which is twofold. It is the mercy of God and it is the grace of God. The mercy of God is that you and I do not receive what we deserve, that our sin deserves punishment, and yet we don't receive that because Christ took our punishment to the cross. And we receive his grace, which is the unmerited favor of God. Paul says it this way, he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Like, it's not because we are good or blameless that we receive salvation. It is because God is good. Everything we've learned this month, he is a good God. He is a great God. He is a glorious God. And today, our final truth about him, God is gracious. And here's what that means. So I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to prove myself to myself. I don't have to prove myself to others. And I don't have to prove myself to God. And this is not, oh, I'm just going to walk around arrogant. I could do whatever I want. I can just keep on sinning. It's none of that. If that's your mind, you have not understood the grace of our God. God is so gracious that he alone forgives us and loves us and calls us his own and gives us a new identity so that we don't have to show up saying, man, everything I've done, everything I've said, it's canceled God's plan in my life. I have to prove how good I am to him. No, you don't. We surrender our disgrace and we accept his good grace. And that is what I'm praying we would discover and know as we turn the page on this year, as we turn the page on today, as we turn it on this moment, that we would move forward understanding it is God's good grace in our lives. It reigns above everything we face and everything we go through. I'm sure like me, you have those things you wish you didn't say, wish you didn't do. But those things do not get the authority to define you. God alone does. And everything is forgiven. And you are a new creation in Christ. And if you don't know him today, I'm inviting you to put your faith in him. You know, if you're a follower of Christ, maybe you've prayed this prayer before like I have. It's a good prayer. You know, Lord, use me. Then you feel like God can't use me because of what I've done. I've canceled his plans in my life. And it's kind of like that combat in your own heads. You can't use me, but you really can. And all of this. And so I heard a much better prayer that I want to teach you today. Instead of saying, God, use me, what if we started praying this? Make me usable. The difference there is that is a prayer of surrender and humility, isn't it? God, make me usable. What are the things in my speech? What are the things in my heart? What are the reactions that I'm prone to? What are the old patterns that need to, I don't want to live that way. They need to go. Make me usable, Lord. What did Elizabeth declare? You have removed my disgrace from among me. God has the ability and the authority to do that today so that you and I might be usable by him. God has not canceled his plans for your life. Hear that. And 2020 did not cancel God's plans for his church or for this world or for our lives. I think this is a great prayer for us to carry with us into 2021. Make me usable, Lord, because you are gracious. It's your unmerited favor. So I'm going to invite the worship team. They're going to join me, and we're going to sing this song as our last song of this year together. It's called Reign Above It All, because I really want you to understand that whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is you're going through, God does, in fact, reign above it. It is not stronger or bigger than our God. So no, we don't live in a way where we prove ourselves to be used by God, but we do live in a way where we honor our God so that we would be usable by him. I want to pray specifically for us in our speech because scripture has so much to say about our words, about what we say for 2020, 21st century, what we post, what we share, what we email, what we declare, what we write. All of it, it matters. And God alone has the ability in our lives to say, no, it's not who you are. You're my child. Speak words of life. Trust me. I don't know about you guys, but I can definitely use a little bit of silence. Just a little more time where I'm slow to speak and quick to listen. Just reflective on God's word. So I want to pray, one, that if the enemy is speaking guilt and shame against you, that is broken today in Jesus' name. That you do not have to carry that disgrace any longer. I want to pray for you. If maybe you've never surrendered your speech to him, never thought, wow, what I say actually matters. Shouldn't be so quick to just fly off the handle and just start speaking. First thing that pops in my head, I want to pray that we would be slow to speak. That we would recognize the authority and the power we have in our mouths. And I want to pray that we would be a church that is usable by God as we go into this new year and get ready for Blaze Church Portable and all the things that God is going to do through us, that we would be positioned to be usable by him. And so I'm going to ask you to stand with me and put your mask back on as we get ready to sing this song out together. But really, if this is your heart and you want to just surrender to him, as I'm praying, would you maybe just open your hands like this or raise your hand to God, and really just to say, God, here I am, and I surrender everything to you. I surrender my disgrace to you. I surrender my speech to you, Lord. It's all yours. Make me usable. And then we're going to worship God with this song. Father, I thank you so much that your grace is greater than our disgrace and that there is nothing that can separate us from your love. Nothing high or low, deep or wide, angelic, demonic. Paul lists it all in that verse. It cannot separate us. We are convinced. Nothing is canceled. Your grace is greater. God, I pray for every person in this space that right now is just surrendering to you. Lord, I come against the enemy that would try to accuse us and heap shame and guilt on our lives. Lord, that cannot last in Jesus' name. Right now, we are reminded of our freedom, of our true identity. We are your children. You are our Father. Lord, I pray that we would be usable, that there would be nothing that would prevent your Spirit's full work in us and through us. Holy Spirit, search our hearts. Show us the things that need to be surrendered. Show us the moments where we pick up old patterns instead of walking out our new selves, our new creation. God, we thank you for who we are. We thank you for your word in our lives. And we thank you that you reign above everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.